Welcome to Roadcase, the podcast that explores the live music experience. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Josh Rosenberg, and I'll be taking you on a journey through in-depth interviews with performers and key people in the industry to explore the magic of live music, how it can be totally transformative for both fans and performers, and we'll look at how they take it all out on the road. It's going to be a great ride, so here we go. Hey, welcome back to Roadcase, everybody. This is your host, Josh Rosenberg. I'm so psyched to be here for this final installment of the in-person interviews that I did at Lollapalooza, which took place in Chicago's Grant Park, August 3rd through 6th. I just got back from Bumbershoot Arts and Music Festival in Seattle, where I did a bunch of in-person interviews, and I'm really psyched to bring those to you in the upcoming weeks, so stay tuned for those. But in the meantime, this is the final episode of the Lollapalooza interview series that I did, and this episode features interviews I did with Jordan Topf, whose project is entitled Windsor. I also had the Argentinian band Usted Seña Lemelo, and I practiced that pronunciation multiple times, and I think I nailed it. And the amazing artist Hoosh, who was born in the United States, has family in Sudan and roots there, and spent a great part of his early years in the Middle East and then settled back in the United States. And then to conclude this episode, I talked to the real super intriguing duo of Chaos and Rage of Bad Neighbors. They have just an amazing story, so make sure to stay tuned for that one as well. So thanks for being here for this episode of Roadcase. If you're new to Roadcase, welcome to the Roadcase community. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. So psyched to have you. And as you know, there's a number of different ways that you can get involved with the Roadcase community. Really super easy ways to follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at Roadcase Pod. Please give us a follow. You can also shoot me an email at info@roadcasepod.com and find out more information about Roadcase by visiting our website, roadcasepod.com. Please do that. Really quick and easy way to help support Roadcase is to give us a follow. That is, subscribe to Roadcase on your favorite listening platform. On Spotify, just hit that little box that says follow. On Apple Podcasts, there's a check mark up in the upper right-hand corner. Just click on that and you'll get updates as to when new episodes come live. You can also rate and review Roadcase. Please do that. Really helps out the show. It's super easy to do on Spotify. Just hit that box with some stars just underneath the follow box on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just scroll up a bunch. You'll see some stars and a place to write a review, and you know what to do. So first up is Jordan Topf. His project is entitled Windsor. I just love talking to Jordan. Just a really sweet, intelligent, self-aware human. He's from Santa Cruz in California and now lives in Los Angeles. Started out as an artist really with kind of DIY ethos, self-produced a lot of his material. His most recent effort was a 2022 EP entitled Where the Redwoods Meet the Sea, which really describes Santa Cruz to a T. His latest single is entitled Get Lost. Currently touring with the Happy Fits in September and October. You can find out more information about Jordan's tour, Windsor, on the Windsor website. Just go there and check out more information about tour dates. I saw him play. I saw his performance on the BMI stage at Lollapalooza. It was just outstanding. High energy, really great crowd response. Everyone was super into it. I absolutely loved his set, and I love Jordan. He's just really great. So without further ado, here's Jordan Topf, and I will be back to talk a little bit more about Jordan and to introduce the second up artist, Usted Seña Lemelo. So here is Jordan Topf. Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
We're just talking about being Jewish, the art of being Jewish at Lollapalooza. But wait, you're into the spirituality? Because I'm more like into the culture. I'm just like Jewish. There's nothing I'm not practicing. I haven't like studied it per se.
Do you have a bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was bar mitzvah. So were my kids. You know, it's kind of
Cool. It's a tradition you pass down.
Yeah, that I'm down with. And yeah. I like that. You know, if I'm bar mitzvahed, then my kids were going to be. And my now ex-wife at the time was, she was on fully on board with that, of course. But yeah, just culturally, like, yeah. Hey, you know, it's like, you know, it's the secret handshake.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's just been such a an oppressed culture that, like, there is a shared love for fellow Jews out there. You know, they just, they're still being discriminated against in so many ways.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you got to bond together.
We look out for one another, and we have the best humor. Let's just,
I think,
just
so.
Leave it
yeah.
at that.
Yeah.
And we wrote all the Christmas songs. So, you know, it's
right.
like,
right.
We just,
you're out there doing your best for writing songs, man. I love your stuff. And,
we'll
get to that. And we have, you know, we're both fellow Californians. You're from, did you grow up in Santa Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
My niece went to Santa Cruz.
She's a slug.
What is it? Banana slug?
Mm-hmm.
Is it banana slugs? Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, that's the Santa Cruz mascot, is the banana slug. I don't know if it's better than this UCSB Gauchos where I went. But
Gaucho is a pretty cool mascot.
I think they could have kept like the bear. Like there's a bear theme with UC because the UC Berkeley was like the original one. And then that's the Cal Bears. So, and UCLA Bruins are also in the UC system. I was digging like the Santa, like Sun Bears. There was a campaign at one point many years ago.
They wanted
Sun
to change
Bears.
It?
Well, people will always say that about Gauchos, but just like, anyway, you grew up in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Living there still?
I live in Los Angeles now, but I go up there a lot to visit my mom. And I like returning to home because it reminds me of where I come from. And Santa Cruz is an interesting place to be from.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, it's kind of, the landscape of it is unique. Like the way the fog rolls in over the ocean at night's a little spooky. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they shot the Lost Boys there, you know, because at night it's a little spooky. And
yeah,
I don't know, growing up, going to DIY punk shows and stuff in high school was really a formative thing
for
me.
People's houses or
just like crunchy hippie house party vibes, but with punk bands and psychedelic bands playing. So that was definitely my introduction to band world and doing DIY tours, and just being immersed in that was really special.
Yeah.
So I've always sort of had just a DIY mentality about my own stuff and working with what you got. And
right.
That's why I produce a lot of my own music and
mm-hmm.
bring my studio wherever I go and set up shop and write.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say bring your studio, you mean a couple microphones and a little mixing thing? Like, what are we talking here?
You don't need much.
Yeah.
You really don't need much. I bring like an acoustic, a microphone, a laptop, maybe a preamp, and I can record anywhere.
Oh, cool.
So.
That's great.
Yeah.
You find little rooms in like hotels that are like, oh, this is good sound.
Yeah. And then, you know, those little idiosyncrasies of a room can make a song unique, you know, without just out of necessity, you know.
Have you ever gotten to a situation where you were like, oh, I love the sound in this room where I recorded this little demo thing, and then like, can we replicate this somewhere else?
You never can.
Right.
You literally never can.
That's what I was asking.
When I made my EP, I did a bunch of it at a house in the woods basically, and there was just this little room and I was setting up in there, and you definitely hear the room. Like there was a tile floor at the edge of the room where I was recording and writing these songs, and you hear like the slap echo of that room in those recordings, and it's kind of fun to, you know, give yourself those limitations, because they end up being the thing that make it special. So
yeah, totally. You lost your dad recently. How old are you now?
I'm 32.
Oh, okay. So 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah, I lost him.
I'm so sorry. Not recently, but I mean, it's always fresh.
10 years was hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
I imagine that crops up a lot in your writing, or it did, or do you try to stay away from it?
No, you know, I think in my, like after my dad passed away, I definitely pushed it down.
Mm, yeah.
And I didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because I never experienced loss at that great a level before. But now I've come to terms with it. I've allowed myself to be angry at my dad for not taking better care of himself and living longer.
Fair.
But yeah, love and loss are definitely themes in my songs.
Yeah.
You know? I think when you lose a parent, it makes you more of a humble person. So, yeah.
What I liked about your music and what I'm learning about your music is that kind of reliving the moments without forgetting the feelings that were associated with them. Like, that life's just not, it's not necessarily a 100% happy party. But stuff happens and it's fun to, like, go back and look at what things that you've done. But it's also important to remember what the feelings are associated with that. And you seem really in touch with those things.
I'm getting better at it. I'm trying to get better. It's not something you just learn overnight.
Oh, no way.
I think also just the male species. We're not like conditioned by society to be in touch with our feelings all the time. So I'm just leaning into that vulnerability more in my writing and trying not to, like, the hard times and the losses I've had in my life, not allowing that to define me, but just making it a thing I'm comfortable talking about, you know, because it's an ever evolving muse in my writing. So
how did you learn to do that? Because it is difficult. Do you talk to someone? You talk to, like, therapist, coach?
Totally got That's a therapist. Totally.
Yeah. Because it's important to have, like, a guide to help you, because it is hard. It's not just being a dude. It's hard for a lot of people.
I guess the women in my life just are really good at feeling connected to their, how they feel in the moment.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I'm making music, I have to peel back layers and layers, and it takes a moment to get to that place of vulnerability where I can just sing my truth, you know?
Yeah. And that's been a process over the years. Is it easier for you now? I would assume.
It's getting easier. I think I'm working on a record right now, and in the process of making this record, I've determined a new way, a new writing style, actually. Back in the day when I first started the solo project, I would sit with my guitar and just write in my notebook and chords and then record it. And now I'm doing this thing, which has been really fun, where I build a musical sound bed, like in Pro Tools or whatever. And I let the music kind of pull out.
You gotta keep that up there.
The music pull out how I'm feeling, you know?
Yeah.
So I respond to the music when I'm making it. And
But you have that feeling in your head when you're creating the music, or you create just riffs?
But it's kind subliminal. It's subliminal, man. It's interesting. It just comes out of me. Sometimes I'm not sleeping at night because I got this melody in my head.
Right.
Or this sound that I want to put down, record it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just let the music come out of me, and then the words, I've been freestyling melodies more and then editing them, and it's been really fun and satisfying.
Interesting.
To record feeling rather than think about songs, you know, just let the songs happen.
Yeah.
Just feel my gut feeling about life and the human experience and love and just my day-to-day, and then freestyle a melody and the lyrics subliminally come out, and then I just edit, and that's the song.
I love that.
So it's been fun. It's a new frontier for me.
It's just beautiful stuff, man. This the 2022 EP, Where the Redwoods Meet the Sea. First of all, I love that title. It totally describes Santa Cruz. It's just wonderful. And I listened to the new single also, Get Lost. It's great.
Thank you,
great
man.
Great stuff, man.
Thank you
really,
so much.
Really, really enjoy it. You did an audio tree session too. This is your first Lala. Did you play your set already?
I play Saturday at 3:20. Tonight we have a late night after party show at Shubas.
Happy Fits.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Raina Mullen with Ghostlight, She's playing with the Happy Fits. So.
Oh, cool.
But at least they're set here. But you've toured with them. You are touring with them
in
as well.
In the fall, I'll be on tour with them. Yeah.
And that's cool. But you've toured with like Alt J in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Last year, I got a call. Hey, do you want to open for Alt J in Portugal, the man, in 2 days? And I was like, the EP hadn't even come out. I had a few songs out.
When something like that happens, are you just like Panicsville? Or what?
I just was like, okay.
Yeah,
get a van,
sure.
And like start driving.
No?
It was like we got a van and started driving to Texas that day. Mm. Like that day. I found out and then I just was like, okay.
Wow.
Pack the van and go.
Yeah, I bet you were glad he did it though.
Oh my God, yeah. They've become
from so many different
they've
levels.
Become lifelong friends,
uh-huh.
The Alt-J guys.
Yeah.
And the Portugal, the man
yeah.
crew. But,
yeah.
Gus and I from Alt-J have become good buds.
Oh, good. Good.
There's a remix in the works.
Oh, really?
With
of one of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Coming soon.
All right. Hot tip. You like touring? You like getting out, being on the road? What's your feeling of that?
I think music, there's 360 degrees of the process. First is making the music. Second is recording it. And then you have to present your music.
Yeah.
And there's something really that feels complete about performing the songs live and connecting with people.
Yeah,
I do it because it makes me feel less alone. And I think people that come to shows feel that sense of community. So it's really important. And I love it, man. I love performing. It's fun.
Yeah. You like being there and connecting with people and being that. You enjoy opening yourself up to that connection that you're making, being vulnerable up there. Is it hard for you still?
It's getting easier. Like I said, I'm leaning into my vulnerability more. It's terrifying, but
is it kind of along the same? Go ahead.
Kind of along the same lines as making the music.
As what we were talking about earlier about just becoming more vulnerable and becoming more in touch with yourself and that process. Because once you can do it with yourself, I suppose it's easier to do it on a stage and put it out there. You know, I go through that as well and in a certain way. I mean, not necessarily on a stage, but just put myself out there in general.
Yeah, because I think it's the lead up to it. Because once you're doing it, it's like, all right, we're here. We're just doing it.
Yeah.
And it's not so scary the moment you're up there, but I think it's all the lead up time, the anticipation.
I was just thinking.
The anxiety.
Like once.
The anxiety that people feel about the future constantly.
I know,
that's
right? It's like
thing.
Living in the moment, man. I'm forgetting to talk about this enough in interviews. Like, it's just like the fear of the future or regret of the past, man. Those are two fucked up things. You got to just be in the moment.
Regret of the past. Yeah. That's crazy. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, don't regret, like, because you can only do, you can only, in the past, if you look at it, you were only able to do, you did the best you could with what you had, right?
You can't do anything about it. It's over.
Not only that, that's one aspect, but if you keep rehashing, oh, I should have done this, or I should have, the shouldas.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Because it's like, no, I did the best I could with what I had. Sometimes I'm like, God damn, if I had just known what I know today and start beating myself up over, but you can't. I stopped doing that once I learned that to accept myself, the various iterations of myself, you know? So you don't beat yourself up over what happened in the past.
Yeah.
Because you could only do what you had because it's just a learning process, right? So I learned today, you know, for example, if you learn something today, you can't use that template and then start going, well, I should have done this or should. It seems simple, but at least it's something for me that I struggle with. But I was also thinking like,
that's okay though.
When I'm inside the interview, it's great. But all the other stuff before it, I try not to let it drive me crazy.
Yeah. Preparation is key. That's how I deal with anxiety is I just prepare.
Do you over? Because people can over prepare and then that becomes sort of a source of anxiety as well. Not to put that in your head.
Do you think people in the 1950s were this anxious? I feel like they weren't.
There was less information. There was people. I don't know.
I think people like back then.
Did you say what? What year did you say?
Like the 1950s or
50s.
Something.
Okay.
I feel
yeah,
like people,
yeah.
There was like this. It's like post-war America and everything's, you know, shiny and, you know.
Yeah, okay,
driving.
But what does it matter if it was easier then?
I'm just saying, I think maybe it is the TMI. everything is TMI. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
there's so much going on.
There's too much information. There's less naivete. And I think leaning into naivete can actually be comforting.
Yeah.
It can be.
Well,
if you just focus on enjoying the present.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe naivete is not the right word.
What's that?
Maybe naivete is not the right word.
No, I know what you're saying.
Think present.
If there's a not naivete, but not isolationism. I don't know. It's like there's so much going on. It's hard to focus. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, without whatever that word is. Do you find it harder to do that in LA than in Santa Cruz? Because when we're talking about just not having a lot of input, I imagine you in Santa Cruz and kind of being up there and not having a lot of distractions. But now you're in LA.
I live in a part of LA that's as... I live on the east side.
Uh-huh. Are you Silver Lake? Highland Park?
I'm like east side.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
It's like I have this... there's like a shed at my house where I like fixed it up and soundproofed it, and I've been like recording in there, and it's kind of great. There's one window and there's very minimal distraction.
Mm. Nice. Stay off the Instagram.
Yeah. It's not real.
No, it's not real, but
it's not real.
But it is distracting.
It's a distraction, but
yeah.
Being up in Santa Cruz or being in nature is definitely a good way to like get grounded and remember where I come from and not have distraction. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So you're working on some new stuff and you're
got some new tunes coming out.
Right on, man. That's
yeah.
awesome. That's awesome. So great to meet you, Jordan.
You too.
Yeah, this was really great. I hope that we can connect some other time along the road, man.
Yeah.
We'll certainly be in touch.
You're in Los Angeles too.
No, I live here. I right across the street.
Oh, you live in Chicago.
I live in Chicago now, but I'm from LA.
Oh,
yeah. Visit frequently. You know, I got family, friends out there, both in LA and San Diego, so I'm around.
You I hope you catch the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're around.
Shubas?
Shubas is tonight.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're set here. Tomorrow.
The set tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll try to do that. Try to do that. I got a ton of interviews,
yeah.
And this is a big, like, literally, it's a long way to go.
It's a lot of fun.
I would walk for you, though, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like we got deep. We, like, put our...
Hell yeah.
We put our heart on the table here,
Hell
man.
Yeah, man.
Okay, on that note.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers, brother.
Okay, that was me and Jordan Topp having a nice conversation. Jordan's such a sweet and genuine human, fellow Jew. You know, I love talking to the Jews in music. I mean, Gregory Alan Isakov from Newport also comes to mind. I don't know. It's kind of like we talked about that. It's sort of just a small club, and it's a Jewish thing. You know, he lives in LA now and was from Santa Cruz. And of course, Windsor is the name of the street that he grew up on. And that's how he entitled his project. And I think that's cool. You know, he talked about that 360-degree process of writing, recording, and then importantly, presenting it live as well. And I thought it was interesting how he talked about it, how it makes him feel less alone to be up on stage and truly enjoys that connection with his audience, and that it's getting easier to do that, to be vulnerable, to put himself out there. It's so hard to get away from distractions and to stay in the moment. You know, this is always a struggle. And regular listeners know that I talk about this all the time, just being in the moment, not regretting things from the past and not throwing yourself too far into the future. It's really the key to staying centered and fighting anxiety. I do this as well. Jordan and I talked about this a lot. His most recent effort, 2022 EP, Where the Redwoods Meet the Sea, is just outstanding. His song, Memory, is an earworm for me, and it's absolutely such a fun song. I totally love it. His latest single is entitled Get Lost. He's out there in September and October touring with the Happy Fits. You can find out more information about different cities, etc., on the Windsor website. Please go do that. And thanks again to Jordan for being here on Roadcase. Next up is the Argentinian rock band Usted Seña Le Melo. And I sat down with Luca Petrich, Juan Saig and Gabriel Orozco, who goes by Coco. Was really psyched to have them, to be able to sit down with them at Lollapalooza. This is their first U.S. tour. They are right at the end of that tour, and they are the first Argentinian band to play the U.S. Lollapalooza here in Chicago. I was really happy to be able to have them all sit down and chat with them. They played a Metro. They played an after show at the Metro in Chicago where they supported Portugal the Man, and they were just absolutely flying. And about that show, and we talked a little bit about the Metro and for opening there and American baseball. These guys have been friends since they were young, and they grew up in Mendoza in Argentina, which is kind of central South America. It's actually closer to Santiago than to Buenos Aires. They're heavily influenced by American rock, and little known fact, I did not know this, but American rock was, I think, banned in Argentina when these guys were growing up, and we talk a little bit about that. Very interesting. Their most recent album is out. It's entitled Tripolar. They've been producing music for quite a while. Their self-titled first release was in 2015, and it's just so much fun, and I really was so happy to chat with these guys. They're trying their best in English. I'm kind of walking them through. Luca is clearly the one that feels most comfortable in English, so he did the majority of talking, but really happy to have them on the show. So I'll be back after this interview to talk a little bit more about Usted Señalamelo, and then I will introduce the next guest, which is Hoosh, who's coming up right after Usted. And in the meantime, here is Luca, Gabriel, and Juan from Usted Señalamelo. Welcome to Roadcase, you guys.
Thank you.
Gabriel, raise your hands.
Yeah.
Luca.
Yeah.
Juan. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you too.
Wow. First, not first Lollapalooza, but first U.S. Lollapalooza for you guys, right?
Yeah. The original.
First Argentinian band to play in the United States, or to play at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Like, overall, that's just amazing.
Yeah. It's an honor for us. We are so proud to be here. It was too much work to do this tour.
So much work.
And now we are here. We played yesterday. It was amazing. We couldn't believe it because came people to see us, you know, and to sing with us. And that was amazing.
Yeah. Luca, what stage were you guys on?
We played at the Bacardi stage.
You played?
Yeah.
Are you playing? You already played?
Yeah, we played
yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, and was the after show last night with Portugal the Man?
Yeah, it was amazing.
At the Metro.
Too.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that venue? Did you like it?
Amazing.
Wow. Right next to, you guys baseball fans, right next to Wrigley Field. Was there a game that day?
Was there a night game that day?
Yeah.
That night?
Yeah, it was
for
the show.
That's hard to get in and out of there.
Yeah. But it was fine.
It's cool for you. I was glad there was a game. You guys got to see Wrigley Field. It's the second oldest, either the oldest or the second oldest baseball stadium in this country.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Early 1900. So I don't know when it was constructed. I have no idea
when it was, but that
in Fenway Park in Boston and then Dodger Stadium.
When we play in Metro, I feel the energy of the history of the place, you know?
Yeah. How so? Like what?
I don't know. That it's like magic, you know?
Yeah. It's just one of those places. They have a nice green room. I haven't been in the green room there. It's set up nicely. The dressing room and stuff there.
Yeah.
They have like a lot of posters of the.
Oh, I imagine.
Gigs there. So that's is sick because you're about to play and you are looking
the
poster
stage.
And it's, wow.
Metallica just played there.
System, Saint Vincent.
Nirvana.
I've seen Jack White there.
Garden. Oasis played there.
Oasis.
Yeah. Oasis.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I saw Jack White play there in 2018. It was a lot.
Wow.
And also the National played there.
Gustavo.
A lot of bands.
Gustavo Cerati.
From Argentina.
It's an artist from Argentina that he played
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
In okay. Metro, yeah.
Argentinian and guy. We met. Is that a guy that you guys like and look up to? Or
yeah.
Is that sort of...
Yeah. Really cool
Sorry, guy. Luca, you were going to say?
No. We met Joe's, that is the owner of Metro, and he was so impressive with us.
Joe Shanahan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's
really
great.
Cool guy.
Nice of him to be there. Really. Right on. Yeah. And Portugal, the man's amazing. Have you guys met them before?
No.
What an incredible show. It's incredible. Just crazy. So many different kind of, it feels like it's just serving different like
so
micro genres.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of feelings.
No. And the guys are so cool. We were talking about do something stuff in the future.
Oh, cool.
Tour in South America. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So you're in the middle of your U.S. tour right now.
And we are ending this tour.
This is the end?
Yeah, this is the end.
Oh, okay. All right.
So just there,
how's it been? Was that the first time you guys played a tour to the U.S.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So what are your impressions of that?
Amazing.
Amazing. I think we need to come back home because we need to, I don't know,
rest process, the mind.
You know? Yeah. Process what happened because it was a lot. It was 4 weeks playing every, I don't know, but almost every day in different cities, traveling, driving, you know, taking train, taking flight.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And we were in so many cities, beautiful cities with Latin crowd and USA crowd.
Uh-huh.
It was so different. It was a challenge for us. And I think we win.
Yeah. What is it like for you to come here? Because you know there's a huge Latin American presence in this country. What's that like for you to see that here abroad? I mean, I'm sure you've seen that in South America, obviously, Argentinians being other places or anything. Obviously in South America, you don't have a language barrier at all, but here you hardly do when others show up. You know, there's such a Latin presence here in this country.
Yeah. For example, we play with Little Jesus. It's a band from Mexico in New York. And it was like Latin American gig, you know? It was exactly like home. Right. And it's amazing because you feel like at home and you know that there are people here waiting for you and listening and discovering what happened in South America, in our house, in our home, you know? It's so reconfortable. I don't know if...
It's, tell me the word. What's the word in Spanish?
Comfortable.
Reconfortante.
Yeah. Comforting.
Comforting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. How so? Like to see, to have that level of recognition or that feeling of that you were at home?
Yeah. I mean, that we are in home, you know?
Everyone's getting homesick. They all want to go home. So tell me, you guys have been playing together since... How old are you all now? Are you the same age?
We are 28, 27.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you've known each other forever, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Almost forever,
pretty much forever.
Forever.
Back to when you were like preteens, like 12?
Yeah, 12.
Yeah. Grew up in the same town, Mendoza?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What was that like? What's Mendoza like? I've never been there.
Mendoza is like the west side. Here is like California because we have mountains, wines.
Oh, like the West Coast.
It's like
here.
A desert. We don't have sea, you know? We don't have sea.
Okay, it's inland.
Because Chile has,
no, because
you know?
We are so close. The other side of the mountain of the Santiago, you know, Santiago? From Chile. We are right the other side of the Cordillera de los Andes. So we are so far away from Buenos Aires, for example.
Yeah.
And really close to Santiago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So sort of the Midwest of, like here, like the Midwest, like far away.
Yeah,
well, but it's kind of a huge lake here, obviously.
Yeah, we don't have lakes. We don't have water. Mendoza.
Hopefully you have some drinking water, some rainwater, but not a huge
we got
body
a good
of water.
Yeah, no. We
How'd
got...
you guys meet? Tell me about what happened when you were, have you been playing music together since you've been little?
They met in...
This
in
is Gabriel.
School. Yeah, this is Gabriel talking in English one more time.
All right, give it a try.
My beautiful English.
You're doing great so far.
Yeah. They met in a school, and I met Luca, and his family has a studio recording, and my father is a producer, so I went with my father there.
To hang out, you know, like kids. hung out in the studio.
In the studio.
Yeah.
And
we call it bring a kid to work day.
Yeah. Listen. You have to tell something about the bass.
what does this knob do?
Yeah. And then, I don't know, we were kids, so we play, we chat, we chilling, and then we start to play instruments.
Yeah, in the same moment.
We play instruments by, I don't know, separate. Juan already was taking singing classes.
Yeah.
And I play drums, I don't know, since I have memory. And Coco too plays drums and guitar, I don't know.
Yeah.
So when we met, it was like, hey, we want to play with the music. You know? We were playing soccer, you know?
Of course.
Until now, we play
like a child's with music. Yeah.
I think it's so important for us.
Say that again, Juan.
Until now, we play like these childs, you know, with the music.
Oh, okay. All right. So in the same way that we play soccer, you guys messed around with music and used it as something to kind of bring yourselves together and work on. And so your dad was a producer, Coco.
Yeah.
And were your parents in music also?
Yeah. My parents are music.
Uh-huh.
My parents are a plastic artist. It's good here. I don't know.
I don't know how to say it.
Jewelry.
Jewelry. Uh-huh.
But like the handmade, you know, autotonics.
Right.
We are inventing words.
Why not, inventing a new language. When in Chicago, do as the Chicagoans do. They make up all kinds of words here. What's the Argentinian rock scene like? You got, what is that? Talk to me about that. Who are you influenced by? Were you influenced by U.S. bands or Argentinian bands? What did you all listen to? That stuff doesn't go north, but our stuff goes south, I would assume. I mean,
yeah, I understand. We love music from here, from USA, but we in Argentina we have a big rock music culture. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Since 60s, 70s, 80s. Every decade was important for popular music and rock music. So we was inspired by that too.
Right.
But I don't know, everywhere. We listen music from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always.
What's a band like an Argentinian band? Give me an Argentinian band, like a rock band that I wouldn't know that I should go and listen to.
I don't know. Contemporary we have a big scene. Banda Los Chinos, Conociendo Rusia, Marilina Bertoldi.
Okay.
But we have a really rich history about the rock culture because in Argentina in the 60s, the English music, it was forbidden, you know? And in the radios and the TV, you only listen music in Spanish and national music, you know?
Oh,
and that was so strong for our history because we made a big scene of musicians that fight against the system, you know?
Yeah.
And after that, the rock, it was like, puff. The main genre in Argentina until a few years ago that we now have, I don't know, Bizarrap or Urbano, you know, genre like Urbano, reggaeton.
Yeah.
But the rock, it is until today so strong in our country. So we have a lot of influence.
More,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Spinetta, Charlie Garcia, Fito Páez.
It's probably stronger now than it would have been had they allowed it. If it had been there all the time, you know, it just would have been like this, but, you know, sort of flat. But now, you know, people just want it because they weren't able to have it, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new album, Tripolar.
The album, okay.
Tripolar?
Tripolar.
Sounds good in English.
There's three Argentinian dudes sitting in front of me. I kind of think it's sort of a little bit about tripolar, the relationships with the...
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, talk to me about that. It just came out?
Yeah. The album was released 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were working on that album for a year, maybe maybe yeah, a year and a half.
Yeah.
We work with Rafael Arcaute and Nico Cotton. They are two producers from Argentina, so big. They work with so many artists, Latin artists. And now we are, you know, playing the shows with the new music. So it's so good for us.
Must feel good to like come up here and like be able to play some new music.
Yeah,
and have this like good things to say to the fine American people up here.
Yeah,
yeah,
Of course.
One other quick question: how does this? Before I let you go, how does you played Lollapalooza Argentina and Chile? How does Lollapalooza Chicago differ from those, if at all? Does it differ? Is it different?
Yeah, I think it's different, but not too much. You know,
too much different. Yeah,
I think the place, the venue is insane.
Yeah, this one,
this park, yeah, at the middle of the city,
it's a
with
mile
the lake.
From one end, no, to no, the it's other. Over a mile from one end to the other.
The buildings,
this is kind of cool. Being downtown is unique.
Wow. Yeah,
here
in
Chicago,
that's unique.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it really makes you feel like you're in the States when you see like all the skyscrapers here and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for being here, Coco, Luca, Juan.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, best of luck to you guys, and I look forward to hearing more about you. And come back to Chicago anytime.
Yeah,
thank you.
Come
back
to see you.
We love
back soon. Yeah, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Juan, Luca, and Coco of Usted Señálemelo. Really had a fun time sitting down and chat with them. They were just so psyched and happy to be at Lollapalooza, and you got the feeling that this is kind of the vibe for these guys during their first U.S. tour. They were just completing this tour. They had just played a Metro After Show with Portugal the Man in Chicago, and they were just flying super high, and it was really great to get to know them a little bit, understand a little bit more about the music culture and sort of how they grew up, influenced by American rock in Argentina. Their most recent album, like I said at the top and we talked about, is entitled Tripolar. Really psyched to have had these guys on the show. And of course, they are the first Argentinian band to have played Lollapalooza US. Please go check out more information about Usted Señálemelo. These guys are just really solid and really happy to have them on the show. So thanks again to Luca, Coco, and Juan for being here. Next up is the artist Hoosh. Really had a nice sit down with Hoosh in the rain, and you can hear the rain on the umbrella. It was a miserable weather morning, but we made the best of it. I really had a nice conversation with Hoosh. He has an interesting background. He was born in Sudan and then came to the United States, then moved back to the Middle East, did some schooling there, spent time in Qatar and Saudi Arabia, attended the University of Miami. And his dad is a doctor. And who sort of buried his musical dreams for quite a while until he kind of uncovered those later in his college career and had those conversations with parents about, hey, I want to be an artist and I'm not going to pursue that more of a traditional career that you guys produced or pursued. And those are just really interesting conversation that I had with Hoosh about that and his artistic creativity. And I'm so glad that he's doing what he's doing. I love his brand of hip hop, very soul based and lyric based. And it's really beautiful. His most recent EP from 2021 entitled Everything's Gonna Be All Right is really worth giving a listen to. So please do that. Really happy to have Hoosh on the show. He's got such an interesting story and is a very thoughtful and engaging, and I really enjoyed speaking to Hoosh. And I want to give a special shout out to Hoosh's team as well, who were nice enough to give me a ride on one of the golf carts that they take to different stages so I could get in a hurry all the way at the other side of the festival. That's kind of a thing there that's so big that it's hard to get from one spot to the other. And they gave me a ride. So shout out to you guys. That was fun. And that was kind of a bucket list item for me to take a ride on one of those golf carts at Lala. So thanks for that. And thanks again to Hoosh for being here. I will come on after you listen to this interview to talk a little bit more about Hoosh and then introduce the last artist on this lineup, Bad Neighbors. So without any further ado, here's me talking to Hoosh. In the rain, intimately in the rain with Hoosh.
Yes, sir.
Loving this. Sort of. I mean, you know.
It's as good as, I mean, it's a dope setting. It's a dope place. It's just not the best of scenarios as far as weather, but
hey, that's okay. My
as long as it's
dry,
not snowing.
My equipment's dry. Snowing. Oh, yeah. Just come back in 6 months,
that's
brother.
What I'm saying. Thank God.
I know. You live in Miami, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Have you experienced a winter?
Yeah.
Like an actual real winter?
Yeah, yeah. So I lived in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That's
back
right.
In the day.
Yeah.
And those winters are fucking crazy, dude. Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy here too. I mean, you know the lake's like right over here. When the wind, if there's like a eastern storm, it's crushing. And you know, you got Lakeshore right here. There was 1 year when Lakeshore was shut down because of snow and cars got stranded. It was bonkers. But let's not talk about like worst case doom day scenarios right now, because we're dealing with our own shit, man. But where do you live now?
So I'm currently based in Miami.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there for the last 11, 12 years now. I think I'm going on my 12th.
Nice. And you just came off the stage, the Coinbase stage out there in the main field. Yeah. Got to catch a couple of songs. I live right across the street. I could hear it from my
house.
Oh,
that's so dope,
bro. I know. I was reading about your story and stuff. And then I just step out, get all my stuff together. And there he's
playing.
Let's go.
You just walk on over.
Yeah, it was
cool.
That's
the best case scenario.
And I know what it was. Like, I heard I came over at like about 12:15. So you were already on stage and just wafting everywhere, man. It was really
let's
great.
Go, dude.
Yeah, I
could feel like the sound was good when I was on stage, but it's hard to get the full reading of it when you're not like off stage facing the stage. So to hear that
true
the fucking world to me, man.
And it sounded it was, I'm not just blowing smoke, man, it was sounding crystal clear over by me.
Thank you.
So you got such an interesting background. You're originally from Sudan.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about like how you came over here, and then you were sort of, I understand you were sort of back and forth. You did middle school and you did high school in Qatar.
Yeah. So,
and then middle school, like we were talking about the winters in Cleveland. Now that I remember that was that. Like, tell me a little bit about the personal background of what, why were you like,
so pretty much as far as Sudan, like my parents are both born and raised in Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
All my extended family is from there. I was
Khartoum, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so my parents are from a spot called Omdurman. Most of my experience with Sudan is more in this area called Khartoum, or I mean more in this area called Riyadh. That's like where my grandfather lives. That's where a decent amount of my family lives. But I have family there, Omdurman. There's another place called Bahri that my mom's also from too.
I visited, I was in Egypt, southern Egypt, and I went to the Aswan Dam. So I guess I understand that's not too incredibly far from the Sudan border.
No. Egypt actually borders Sudan. So
Right.
Yeah, it's just super, super close. You're right there.
Yeah,
but basically, so my family's all from there. I was born in the States, but then I moved to the Middle East like very shortly after.
Okay.
Within a couple years because of like my dad's job situation. He had gotten like a really good job offer overseas.
What did he do?
He's a doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a physician. So he'd gotten a nice job offer in Saudi Arabia at the time. So that's what made us move over there and over to the Middle East. And then more so than that, he just wanted us to have a connection with Sudan. So I'd go to Sudan like twice a year, at least growing up, up until the point I got to college. And then it started becoming a lot harder to like make those trips out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just like solo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, yeah.
And also being so far away at that
point. I understand you were accepted to
University of Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Penn State?
No. And Penn State. Yeah. Penn State was actually my first acceptance. I thought I was going there until like last second. I had this like really good conversation with my brother where he convinced me to go to Miami. So
yeah. How much did music play a part in your going to Miami?
Man, it's funny because when I was actually picking like schools to go to at that time, I didn't think I was going to take music seriously. Like, there was no part of me that like saw that as a way or as like an option. You know, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go to school, do like normal academic shit and like try to just have as much fun as I can while I'm in college, because once it's over, like I just viewed it as like, oh, shit's about to be downhill after this. Like as far as like life being fun, I'm just gonna have to do
because
something.
You were so focused on music. But was it how,
nah,
did you, how'd
at the time
you
I wasn't focused on music at the time going into college. I didn't even think I was gonna make music. I was just like just gonna do normal
well
life.
I mean,
shit,
when I
like,
say focused personally,
nah, not even like like me from a personal outward standpoint, like I was just like, that dream was not alive in my head at the time. Like I just been like, to me, it seemed unrealistic. And it also made me stand out, which I didn't really like at the time. I didn't want to like, you know, be the dude known as the artist, you know what I'm saying?
Because as I understand, when you were in school, people like made fun of you because you came to school and did a rap thing. And then he sort of buried that dream.
So
what did that look like?
When I was in middle school, damn, you actually really know your shit. That's crazy. When I was in middle school,
I can read.
Nah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the
I was telling you as we were walking over here, man. I love the story.
Thank you, man. So yeah, when I was in middle school, it was like the first time I had like really, I mean, I'd put out music beforehand, but I was a lot younger, so I feel like I didn't really understand it. It wasn't like no formal way of putting on music. It was just like burning stuff onto a CD, onto like beats that we would be able to download off of like LimeWire or whatever it may be, like beats of other popular songs. But when I got to middle school and I was living in Cleveland, that's when like that was like the first time in my life where I really thought like, yo, music could be like a thing. Like this is like what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. Like I'd always been musically, I guess, inclined and like into music. But when I was there is when I started like really diving into the passion and building the craft. And there's another kid in that school. His name's AJ. Shouts out AJ Pollard, AKA the narrator.
That's my AJ. Brother.
So I linked with him early on and he just happened to be doing the same shit I was doing on his artist shit. He was a lot heavier into production and engineering than I was at the time. So I would literally go to his crib every weekend if I could during the week, and we would just sit there in his basement, record. Eventually, we put out a song. Until this day, man, I still think the verse is fucking fire, especially at the age.
Oh, you haven't put that one out?
Nah. I mean, we put it out. It was on MySpace and shit, so if you can dig up my MySpace, shout out to you.
Reload that app or something.
Hopefully, it's all gone, but nah.
That's what all art is, like, the first things that you did. Your parents supportive? No, I kind of was.
So my parents have always been like, I guess, supportive of anything I do to a certain extent. But like when I really started to take music seriously or when I would bring it up to them as an option, they would always shoot it down. But
your dad's a doctor, man. Yeah, they're notorious for like, I mean, no offense to your dad.
No.
But they're like, what?
And he's also
he's so devoted to his career and worked so hard to get where he was. And you're clearly super smart.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I mean, he, also, the culture that we're from is not a very, I guess, like music open culture when I was coming up. Like it wasn't, I guess it's similar like this in a lot of African countries, but I guess the way the culture was in Sudan and in Africa was in general, I guess at the time was more so the emphasis was placed on academic success. You know what I'm saying? So your life goal is not like, oh, I could choose whatever I want to be. It's more so like I got to get the best grades in school so that I could get the best chance at being one of like three professions that are at the top, which would be like, let's say doctor, engineer.
Yeah, there's no, this is how I feel. I'm a creative artist and here's the outlet. So there was no defined career path there.
Yeah. And the way they came up too was a lot more of a, I feel like you didn't have as many choices back then. You couldn't even, like, I feel like the era that I'm in right now, the era that I came up in, is a part of the reason why I'm doing this and why I'm able to do this at such a, I guess, a successful rate. Because I think a part of coming up in that area, coming up in that era in Sudan, like, it wasn't the most, like, built for you to take your quote unquote music or art dreams to the next level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just wasn't viewed
as. Does not come as a surprise.
Yeah. And for parents, they're going to look at you and be like, they don't want you to be at risk of anything. They want you to have a nice, comfortable lifestyle. So
I guess they're happy now, but I would assume there was a point when they were like, what are you doing? We're sending you to this nice school and you're fucking around with music.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, shit, even sometimes today, I feel like not that they don't believe in it, but they just want to make sure, yo, is this shit still good? You're still chilling? Because they know how up and down this industry could be and how the lifestyle could be. So
tell me about the conversation you had with them where you're like, no, I really want to do this and I can be good at this. And this is kind of what you felt like you wanted. Like, dad, you were a doctor. You know, you studied to do that. There was something you felt inside of you. I feel that same way about music and artistry. This is what I was meant to do. What did that conversation sound like?
So with my dad and my mom, it's been multiple conversations over a long period of time. Like ever since I can remember and they've asked me what I wanted to do, it's either been an actor or to be like a musician or singer of some sorts. Mm-hmm. So, ever since I was a kid, I would tell them that, and then they would like do their best without like trying to crush me, being like, yeah, but that's not the most realistic thing. Why don't you be a doctor? Why don't you be like a lawyer? Right, da, right. Da, da, da. So the older I got and the more like you really got to start choosing what you're going to pursue in life just to ensure that you get there at a steady pace, that's when it started to get a little bit more, like there was a lot more pressure around the conversation. And then it didn't happen until I was in my second, third year of college where I really decided, yo, I'm going to take this shit seriously. And then when I would approach him like that, it was a very difficult conversation to have because especially at the beginning when there's not the numbers to prove it or like the stamps of credibility. Sorry, I can't talk right now.
It's okay.
Credibility. You can sing. At Lollapalooza. Thank you. Appreciate you. So like stamps of credibility like Lollapalooza, like Loud and shit. When you don't have those things, it's like, to them, this dream just sounds like gibber. It's just like, are you serious right now? You know what the percentage of people who make it and don't make it is, and they're just trying to think of a way to protect you and secure you. So
yeah, they just love you and they want the best for you. And kids aren't, I got three kids. Kids aren't always the best at forward thinking.
Yeah,
so you, that's why parents are there to forward think for you in a sense. But you also got to be open. And so taking it to the next step, I really enjoy your music and the vibe. Well, first of all, the music, the R&B background and vibe is wonderful.
Thank you.
And you talk a lot of just about not being judgmental.
Yeah.
How much of that has to do with how you were treated to find your own creative way? Or is that just about your friends and today?
No, that does have a lot to do with how I came up. I mean, I think from one standpoint, like we were talking, you know, pursuing the music side of things and the art side of things did kind of like separate me from a bunch of people. So I did feel a lot of judgment in that. And that was something that I had to learn how to cope with and use as a strength as opposed to like letting it hinder me. But even in like standpoints of race or where I was from, most of the places that I lived at in my life where I actually like lived at, I was either like racially separate from everybody else or like I'm from somewhere that somebody else isn't from. Like I've always stood out and been like the odd one out in these different places that I've lived at.
So. Yeah, I understand you got thrown into like in Cleveland. You were like in a super like non-diverse
Yeah, I was in a suburb
that
of
makes
Cleveland.
You stronger, I guess.
100%
Holy shit.
100% I didn't know, like at the time the culture switch was crazy, and then
yeah,
I was in a suburb, so I was in an area that was, I would say, at least 95-96% white. So,
right.
And white from Ohio, from Cleveland. Yeah, like, their families have been there. They went to Ohio State. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you're saying.
And my shit is all over the place. So
I know.
There's a lot to catch up on. Boy,
you
must have
been, you either could have been a really popular kid or not.
I mean, I was, man. I just, like, it was, I was very good at, like, whenever I'd go somewhere new, like, just kind of, I don't know. It was like a skill I developed. It was like, as soon as I get somewhere, I pick up what the like norms are, like what the vibes are at that spot. And then I'm able to make friends really quickly. I don't know if it was like a, like almost like a survival mechanism shit I did as a kid. Cause I was moving around a lot, but yeah.
Totally. Interesting, man. Such an interesting background. Let's talk about music.
Let's do it.
Should we talk about music for a little bit? Because you were here for music, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's this, Lollapalooza? Yeah,
sometimes I forget about that shit. I'm like, I'm in Chicago.
No, you got a great story, man. I could just go personal the whole time, but I'm sure people will want to listen. And I want to... Santa Monica, the single.
Hell yeah.
Fucking cool song. What's your connection? I'm from LA. What's your connection with Santa... Is that Santa Monica, LA?
Yeah. Okay. So Santa Monica in LA. I was actually in LA at the time working with like one of my best friends who's a super, super, super dope producer. His name's Off Rami. But we were working on that track and pretty much... we were in LA at the time, not in Santa Monica, but I just randomly freestyled that when we were doing takes to figure out what we wanted the melody to be and the top line to be. So the way I had sung Santa Monica just stuck. And I was like, fuck it, man, we're in LA. I had just driven by Santa Monica, not even been to Santa Monica. And I was like, this place is so dope.
I know, it's really cool. So super cool. Yeah. Super, super great stuff. Yeah. I love the influences and you know, obviously you're multicultural, multivariate, you know, well-educated human.
Thank you.
And you know, that really comes through in the music. And
Thank you, man.
I really enjoy it. What's up next? Touring, etc. What do you got exciting?
We got a lot planned, man. So we just came off of a big like run of shows where we did a bunch of Rolling Louds. We are doing Lala today, and I did a JID and Smino, like a couple tour dates with JID and Smino. So we're finally done with like a bulk of the shows, we have like a small little window right now where we can really tap back in. I mean, we've been creating and crafting our music and stuff, but now we get to like dive in on a, with a little bit more time and not having like these big shows leaning over us. So we are working on a project coming up. I don't know. I can't give you a specific date.
Yeah, that's cool.
But a project and a whole list of singles.
Awesome. Is your vibe like more of kind of we're going to just we just do singles? Do you kind of is that what you do?
Or I mean,
would there be like an album thing? Not no judgment. I'm just curious.
Not at all. Not at all. I just feel like, especially with the title album, like I haven't even dropped the album yet. I've only really dropped like a, a project, an EP. So
yeah,
to me, it's
they're
about,
good stuff. You just lump them together on a fucking vinyl.
Appreciate you. Nah, I mean, for me, it's more so just I want to like everything has to have, you know, the right setting and build up towards it. Like I wouldn't want to just drop a project just because like I really want to like, you know what I'm saying? And just force it.
It's good. You're not feeling like the outward pressure to do that.
Yeah,
you do,
man. You, I feel like when I'll get a vibe when I feel like people are ready to sit down with like a longer list of songs. But until then, I'm going to just keep pumping out as many singles as I can that, you know, touch as many vibes that, that I like and that the people who listen to the music like.
Yeah. I love it. I love what you have to say.
Yeah,
got a great background.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting stuff, man. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, man. And likewise, bro. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here and sharing a little bit of your story.
Yeah.
Maybe you come on next time, come on the show. We'll do like a full hour interview and we'll really get into it.
Hell yeah, man. Hopefully I'll come back in the summer and we'll be sunny outside.
Yeah.
We won't have to have an umbrella over there.
It wasn't too bad, right?
No, actually,
didn't get
this,
too wet.
No, this like, worked out really well.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy now. It's kind of like the rain's kind of eased up a little bit. We'll see. I got a couple more interviews in this rain, the rain slot here, but we'll figure it out. This is cool.
Absolutely.
I like
this.
I like this.
Absolutely.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Best
boss.
Of luck to you. Likewise. You said you had one other set here?
Yeah, so I got a set at 4:30 at the Bud Light Backyard. Which is, I think, a smaller side stage. So that's going to
be
at 4:30.
Fine. Yeah, actually,
got 4:30.
Shit, yeah.
Pull up if you can. I know you're going to have interviews and
stuff.
I'm
going to try. It's all the way on the other side, but I was going to see something at 4. Daniel Ponder is playing over there.
Okay,
yeah,
wait.
She's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I just talked to her at Newport Folk, so
I'm
looking forward to publishing that episode soon. Yeah,
nice.
She's great. Hoosh, thanks so much for being here, man.
Pleasure,
it was
man.
A real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for having me, boss.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Okay, that was me talking to Hoosh. Really enjoyed that conversation. He's really an engaging individual, and I really respect his story. You know, he buried those musical dreams for a long time, and I think there was a lot of family pressure involved in that, or at least that's how it felt to me. But he finally came into his own artistry and knew and did. Now he's doing what he really wanted to do. He's got an amazing multicultural background, having been born in Sudan and then went back and spent time in Saudi Arabia and Qatar as a kid, lived in Cleveland for a little bit, graduated from the University of Miami. Just an interesting story. He has a string of a variety of different singles that are available on the streaming services. I really love the latest singles, Petty and Pick Me Up. And of course, give a listen to his EP from 2021, Everything's Going to Be All Right. I really wish Hoosh the best of luck. I'm so glad that I had him on the show. He's just an amazing emerging artist, and I wish him the best of luck. And shout out to his team as well. Really great people. Was really glad I got the chance to hang out with all of them. Thanks again to Hoosh for sitting down with me at Lollapalooza. Next up is Bad Neighbors. Bad Neighbors is originally from Birmingham, Alabama. The duo is made up of two individuals. The more talkative fellow is Chaos, and his cousin, or he called him his cousin. I guess it was his cousin, Rage, who doesn't really do a lot of talking. But this was the first type of interview I did like this. They have their own very particular ethos, which I felt was fairly well developed. I mean, and I took some time to really do some digging and ask questions. Going into this interview, I felt like, you know, maybe this could have been kind of one of those interviews where they're not going to want to talk or answer my questions, but they really have down this particular philosophy. I'm not exactly sure how to encapsulate that philosophy or summarize it, you'll have to do that yourself by listening to this really interesting interview. And I've got to say, initially, I sort of let Chaos talk about who he is, where he comes from, what his beliefs are, why he's here, and why he does what he does. And there was a little bit of that artist veneer, that kind of, he was sort of maintaining a fourth wall. But I feel like as we kind of went along and they got to know me a little bit, and this is not that long of an interview, it's about 18-19 minutes long, but as we went along and he got to know me a little bit better, that veneer started to come down. And regardless of all what felt like a kind of a little bit of bravado, a little bit of artistic posturing, but that's kind of what an artist is, and he really feels what he is and really embodies this philosophy that he has about his artistry as a rapper. But as we went along, I really felt like I cracked into that a little bit, and we began to just talk as just two people, and we had some laughs, and he really let go of that veneer, and really we kind of just were sitting on the couch having a chat with these guys. They had been hanging around the media area for a lot of the weekend, and they draw a lot of looks because of how they dress, their face tattoos, their piercings, just their general look is just so incredibly unique that it's just head turning basically. And you know, I'd seen them prior to the interview, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with these guys? What are they going to be like? Because they have that kind of attitude, like, I'm not going to fucking talk to you. But on the contrary, it was a really interesting conversation that I had with these guys. Anyway, you be the judge. Super interesting guys. Really glad I had them on the show, and I'm super happy to be able to present this interview to you. This is Chaos and Rage, Bad Neighbors. Hey guys.
It's always over.
Thanks for being here.
Oh yeah.
Bad Neighbors.
Bad fucking neighbors.
Rage and Chaos.
Yeah.
Where are you guys hanging out? Where do you live?
We everywhere with it, man. We reside in LA, but this our world, man. We don't do labels and shit.
That what?
I said we reside in LA, but this is our world, man. We be anywhere and everywhere, here nor there, man. You'll catch us. Just summon us up, man. We'll be there.
So it doesn't matter much where you live. You just
no, all
just,
this shit out.
We're here. It's good to be like.
I'm
in the,
here right now.
We're in the here. Yeah, for
in
sure.
The now,
no,
right
the
now.
Here. The but here
yeah.
And now. That's
you'll
the
catch
thing.
Me like, in LA or whatever the humans want to call it.
Uh huh. Yeah. LA, Los Angeles, whatever.
Yeah, LA.
You guys played a set here.
Yeah.
How was that? You played Lala before.
Never, no, this shit's fire.
Yeah, did you enjoy it?
It's fucking amazing. Yeah. One of the longest sets. It was amazing. We went to Chicago last year for the Lyrical Lemonade, the Summer Smash.
Uh-huh.
It was fucking amazing. But Lala was different this year. It was one of my best ones yet.
Yeah, you on? Yeah. What happened? You're good.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, what were we gonna say, Rich?
No, I said they turned up out there for us, man.
Yeah,
love Chicago.
Yeah. How long you guys been doing? How do you guys meet? You guys.
My cousin.
Cousins?
My blood cousin.
Yeah.
Man.
You guys grew up in the same town? Where'd you grow up?
From a whole nother world, bro.
Yeah, what's that world called?
The world you might know very soon. It's from a whole nother world, man.
Yeah.
The other side.
Yeah.
Feel me?
All right.
And we bring it into this right here, to this world. This is our world too, also.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's fair.
That's what we are.
Rage, you're laughing. Why are you laughing?
No, I'm just laughing.
Shit, that's what we are. We laugh through the pain, man, but we won't feel it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What pain?
Life, bro. Or whatever the fuck. Life, death, shit. In the now. You feel me? Whatever you got to go through, you feel me? Life without pain or whatever, or without sacrifice, it's useless. You might as well just be dead, all right?
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, I feel it. I mean, a lot of people feel pain. Is that
that's what I mean, that's what we feed off of, you feel me? I feel like people go through more pain than any bullshit. They might cry through the pain, laugh through the pain, smile through the pain, but you're always going through something, you know. That's what I see, that's the human scale. But
you're creating music to help you get through the pain or to get identify with it, or?
I feel like we just make people just feel very selfless and just like just very free within the shackles that they put you in, bro. You feel me? So
yeah,
pain becomes numb. You know what I'm saying? We like you get so much of it, you start having fun with it.
Yeah. Well, if you're numb, then you can't really feel the pain. Do you want to feel it, or do you want to be numb so you're
gotta
not?
You gotta be numb. You have to acknowledge the pain at least.
Right.
You're still gonna feel it. Pain.
So it's like, because that's just being. Just,
yeah, because like acknowledging it helps you identify with it. You can put a finger on what it is. You can kind of understand it.
When I say pain too, though, it can be like I was not even in the physical. It can be mentally, anything.
Oh no, no, I fully thought it was mental.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, except maybe with the tattoos and stuff.
Nah, these aren't really tattoos, man. This just us who we are, man. Humans put a label on it and call it whatever, but
I hear that.
It's just us being us, bro. That's people still trying to understand it.
Where's the pain come from? Tell me about your particular journey with that and what that is.
I mean, we mastered pain. I just said I feed off pain. I'm really a fucking zombie. I don't feel shit. You feel me? But to the point of when I say pain, we tap in on people's emotions. You feel me?
Yeah.
Every emotion involves pain, no matter which one ever you go to. You feel me? Like,
you think happiness involves pain?
Yeah, for sure. Because in order to be happy, you gotta go through something to be.
I guess it's the flip side of fucked up things.
It's fucked up things. It's
the flip side of fucked up things.
Like, it's always fucked up, and you make it how you want to. So that's what I be like. It's pain. My perception is no pain. I take pain and I play with it, and I let people know there's really no life or death because we're in the now with it. And that's what we do. We just indulge in it now. We have fun.
Wait, so you were, let me understand. So you were saying it was all pain.
And pain. For it's a human scale.
Yeah.
And we take that and we feed off that and we make art. And that's how we make our shit. You feel me? I don't have to go in and think of nothing. Everyone's always going through some type of pain.
Yeah.
Whether they smiling, crying, or whatever.
For sure.
And we like the lords of that. You feel me? We feed off that shit because we can relate to the point that we're known for it. We know how to control that pain. So there's no pain. So we take that.
You
and
know
we
how.
Use
hold
that
on,
one
second. You know how to control the pain, so there's no pain. I like that.
Yeah. So you look at us with all these tattoos.
So you take
on
it. You
face.
Take ownership of it. Is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, because we don't. I mean, there's no life and death the way we live, the way we die. You feel me? We're just in the now, and we let y'all make up or fantasize whatever the fuck you want to take it as. You feel me? That's how we go. Keep it going.
Real shit.
You can call it life. You can call it death. You feel me? We just call it. We just do what the fuck we want.
Interesting. Tell me, Ridge.
He summed it up. That's how we live.
You gotta speak up though, brother.
So he summed that shit up for real. It's your perception.
Yeah.
Just be yourself, do what you wanna do. All these rules, labels, none of this shit real. None of this shit matter, man.
Yeah, let's just make life how you wanna make it, bro. That's exactly. What we doing.
Hell yeah, wait,
we're doing shit. It our way. Bad neighbors, bro. You feel me? It ain't so bad once you really like come down outside, man. It's what it is, bro. We take all this shit that you think it is and we just fuck you up with it. Because it's nothing in what you thought it was fact. There's no such thing as fact. There's no such thing as opinion. It's all a misunderstanding.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly what I said.
It's very existential, I got to tell you.
There's no fact to none of this shit. Every time somebody come with a fact, nature or some bullshit come and bite you in the ass, man. What the fuck is a fact? They say water is wet, but then it's actually dry too and vapor. They say water is good for you, but too much water will make
there,
you drown. Anytime it's a double-edged sword, because it's a circle of life. You feel me? It's a circle.
Yeah.
You feel me? So us being in another dimension and being able to look down upon a lot of this shit, we can do what the fuck we want to do.
Control it.
And control it. For us any emotion, for us pain. You feel me? But like I said, pain is involved in love and everything. So we directly for it on pain. And we express
I'm sorry.
Pain. Pain is in everything. It's in love. It's in happiness. It's in everything. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
Just to enjoy, because when you get through the pain, you feel like you're conquering something.
Yeah.
You feel me? So
does your art form help you evolve into another like place where you're kind of looking at pain differently and looking at emotions differently? Or, you know, like, because this is something that you're kind of, I can see you're learning about this. This is your ethos, man.
Yeah. It's
like,
more, it's more,
does it,
it's
does
more,
it change as you go along a
I
little
mean,
bit?
It's just more of really just unplugging people. Like, we don't really think, there's no thinking with this shit. It's instinctively. We're just trying to put the instinct back into the humans, whatever you
think. Yeah.
Because people are thinking too much about it. So like just instinctively
I'm
aware.
I'm overthinking it right now. I just gotta understand.
Nah,
it.
It's
I'm
just
trying to like you know.
It's just instinctively aware. I feel like the best thing I can tell people like experience is better than an explanation, bro. Just experience that shit. Fuck that. Fuck all that explaining. Experience it and indulge in it, and you take it up from yourself like that. Because everything else, like I said, was told to you by someone else. It's made up. So it's so fucking fake that it's real, though, because you take the fake shit and you make whatever that you want is real. And that's just what we are, man. Bad neighbors. For like the way we express ourselves, from our tattoos, from ritualistically, from ancestries, to times down to things that people may not ever understand, because knowledge is power. We don't want you to understand. It's just, I mean, everyone should stay in their own circle, not box. And Flores do that. Like, it's the cult, for sure. We make leaders, though, not followers. It's neighbors.
I love that.
Yeah.
Interesting, man. I'm trying to get my arms around it.
That's why we so fucking fire, bro. It's like, we're very conceptual and very mystic. But I'd give it up. I feel like everyone feel like they know it all, and we just do it. So I just leave you with a puzzle, and you put that shit together yourself, and it just keeps you coming back for like more. Because I'm not trying to be like Mr. Know It All. I don't know shit. I just do it. And it's up for you to decide for what the fuck.
I mean, it's also kind
it.
Of very sort of Eastern philosophy, is that you're just kind of letting it flow over you. You're who you are,
exactly.
And there are things that occur that you're just like, fuck it, I don't give a
shit.
Yeah,
it's
and
all
going
to gravitate.
But you're always your own person, and you can be who you want, and you can go and project that sort of philosophy. It's almost kind of Eastern in a sense. Does that kind of make sense?
I feel like it's just out of this world, avant-garde, Eastern, Western.
Well, okay,
Southern,
we don't need to put a name on it, but it's just interesting.
For sure,
how just
right.
Like you're in kind of a, like the you're in the stream, and
yeah,
the water's
yeah,
kind of flowing over
exactly.
You.
It gravitates.
No matter what you want to call that water,
yeah, what's meant to be will always be. She will gravitate. We're very magnetic. I don't have to do shit, but just do it. You feel me? Everyone can talk about it, but doing it is really like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Have you always had this kind of philosophy? Like, how? Like, what'd you study growing up? Like, what'd you read? What kind of brought you to this?
I would want to just tell people this, man. It was just this story of just going through this and going through that. But like, everyone, I feel like it comes from a very special background, and just where we come from is like the unknown and very dark, and I just found my own light, and I was able to like very reflect on myself.
That's great.
Very within myself, and for my ancestors and how I got here and how I am here and then now. It's a big reflection. I just reflect and I indulge. You know, I'm a sponge. Then I go in my hermit mode and shell in, and like you get this. You feel me? Bad neighbors. You
feel me? Just bad neighbors.
Yeah. From experience, man. Like we can go A to Z. You feel me?
Yeah.
One to none, you know.
I like
it's
it.
Like that.
I like it. It's your own personal philosophy.
Yeah, for sure. It's my personal experience, and I'm just but you kind of displaying it to the world. And hope you just people could just.
How old are you guys?
Timeless.
No, come on.
I'm timeless.
All right. If you had to put years on it, though, what year were you born?
I would say like BC.
Why is that funny?
I would say like BC and AD too.
Okay, fair. How long have you been on this planet?
Every day I feel like I'm like a fucking 1-year-old, bro. Like, everything's about me. Me, 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 me. I love everything. I don't know. I just got here, bro. Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay. I like it.
I don't know. I feel like people, like, I don't, like, from where we're in the realm that we're in, like, we're not boxed in.
I don't know what that is.
We don't know what, you feel me, for us, races, age, and, I don't know. The more you try to understand, the more boxes you put in, more problems you
I
have.
I was about to use the box. You don't want to be boxed into like
more problems,
sort of
what?
Like pragmatic
what?
Kind of labels
yeah.
that label people in certain yeah. ways, age, philosophy.
Yeah, because feeling. Now because now you're making it more of a script than an experience. It's
right.
This shit's flawed, man. Just indulge in it and make it what you want to make it.
Right.
Feel me?
Yeah.
I'm old enough and I'm young enough too.
I like that. Especially because I'm older and I want to like.
You're young, like, man. You're young. We here in the now. That's all I know. All y'all know
did I tell you how much I love you telling me how young I am?
Nah, for real, though. I see it, bro. It's in you, bro. It ain't on you, bro.
That's absolutely true, man.
It's in you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys playing. So tell me about touring. You play around here, playing shows in the Midwest. What are you all doing?
Shh. Been doing
what's the next show coming up?
We got more shows coming. Stay tuned.
We gotta stay tuned. We've been doing this festival shit, man. We just landed, man, on this realm, man. Yeah. We're slowly invading and it's taking it over. Beginning. This is our second time in Chicago. Like, in all, we did a couple festivals. We're gonna throw our own shit, debut album coming soon, and it's like, yeah, we're gonna fuck the whole algorithm up like we always do. But we on our time because we timeless with it. So
I love that.
Just keep being patient and yeah, we appreciate everybody.
Okay. That's all good. Thanks for talking to me about it, man.
Hell yeah, for sure.
I like Likewise. You. I like you. Sure. I like it. Yeah.
Appreciate you.
It's good stuff, man.
For sure, bro.
I mean, you got your shit down, that's for sure. You're not coming in here and just kind of going, what? Like, just sort of posing or something. No, you guys are fully real. You got to, I mean, I look forward to listening back to this and kind of figuring out the philosophy a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to, like, really gather on the fly.
I feel it. I love that. You know? You feel me? It's going to keep you, like, searching for more because it's never enough before it's, like, indulging and experiencing life. Now,
we can
think on it all day, but just indulge in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all I can tell people.
Yeah. Well, no one can say you guys aren't real. That's for goddamn sure.
they try to say you guys are.
Do they really?
Yeah, man.
What the fuck? What are the haters saying?
I want to say like fans, like they're supposed to fantasize, man. So we go from like vampires, from werewolves, from reptilians. You never know. You know what I'm saying? So I love it all, though. We go from like, you guys gay
vampires,
everything. You know, so it can be
gay vampires.
It can be whatever. I mean, this is my cousin. I love my cousin. So it's like whatever that we do, bro. I like people to just have it your way. You're supposed to do that. Fantasize and keep fantasizing. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep being the idol. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to pave the right way. I'm not going to false lead anybody the wrong way. Like I said, we make leaders. It's bad neighbors, bro.
Well, and you're living and let live or die and let die. I don't know what it is. But you're like, you're not being judgmental about others. And I hope others aren't judgmental about you guys.
I hope they do judge, actually.
Do you? Why? No, you don't want judge. What do you mean by that?
I feel like art, you want them to judge. You feel me? Like, I mean, we give you guys something for you to throw glitter or dirt on. You feel me? So it's like, it's.
Well, hopefully it's not a lot of judgment because you have a lot of interesting things to say. And I'm not going to begrudge.
We love it all, though.
I'm not going to begrudge your own personal philosophy, man. I'm just trying to understand.
No, for sure. No, for sure. But as far as what the way we see, you mean, look how we look. We don't. No one can judge us. Every opinion.
Well, believe
not
me, you guys walk down the street, people are judging you.
Yeah, but
sadly, but you know, I would because
we
I,
get like, it though. It's what's a that about?
I would be the one that's asking like more questions, and that's why I do what I do because I don't want to have you sitting here and like fucking figuring it out.
Yeah,
I want to know who the fuck are these? What the fuck? I saw you yesterday in the press area.
Okay, for sure.
What's up, man? And like, I'm talking to these guys tomorrow. I want to know. I'm looking forward to hearing the philosophy.
I mean, this voice, like, bro, we don't hear it. We don't get embarrassed. We don't feel weird. We don't force judgment. Like, everything's a reflection. So when I really say everything is me, like, it's me. I don't really, like, all this is just a phase and a fantasy. And you have your way with it.
It takes a lot of courage to get out there and look as unique as you guys do. You know, I think, I mean, there's jewelry and there's other things, but you guys have tattoos and, you know, and just kind of a general sort of vibe.
Appreciate that.
You know, and you do your fucking thing. You do your fucking thing, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Likewise, bro.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need.
You ask solid questions. For sure.
Thanks. You don't need me to tell you that. I'm just kind of stating that because that's how I feel.
Love it, though,
I want that love for you guys.
No, for sure. I'm reflection. Likewise, bro. I'm a sponge. I soak all it up, bro. I accept all that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right on. Right on. Yeah. Well, good luck to you guys. I finally got a smile out of these motherfuckers.
Yeah, I'm not too like crazy. I'm a humble beast, man. I'm a humble beast.
Can you please tell me this why how your cousins stay, this not how we stay afloat?
I mean, bro, rage is rage. You feel me?
And now I know why you hang around your cousin Rage, because he's the one who does all the talking.
Nah, I mean, I feel like Rage is like less is more. Less is more.
Chilling, yeah.
Less is more. I'm telling you.
You're telling me less is more now. You're going off.
If me and Rage is both lit at the same time, it's a balance. We go up and down. I'll be like,
I know. I'm just fucking with you guys.
I'm just
giving it up for the day.
We've been doing fucking, we did 2 45 minute sets yesterday.
Nice. So,
you feel me? About, still collecting our energy from these souls and like,
so how do you
just up and down with it?
How do you feel about doing these kind of interviews? Is it
we do not do fucking interviews. So this is our like first interview.
How's this one stack up?
You didn't ask me quite. Questions that I mean, I don't really care what people ask. Like, I'm a sponge, but like, I feel like certain people just want to interview us just because for clickbaits, because they just know like how we look is just so like out of this world,
know, they could just try, just throw fucking shit questions at us just to get a click. You know, but you actually care.
I don't think I'm doing that.
No. But most guys do that nowadays. This is a big rapper that got face tattoos or whatever. Maybe people will click on that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So you actually sound like you're actually invested into what we got going on, bro. So I fuck with it, bro, because I do not like. Yeah, we won't do that. We let our art speak for itself, and that's what keeps us going. We don't really got to do too much talking like that. You feel me?
Yeah.
But when I do talk.
You can't stop him.
Yeah, no, it's whatever.
He's the one you want to invite to the family reunions, man.
He talks. He's a sponge. You feel me? He gives it up for sure. Like Rage is younger. Rage is him. Same age.
Yeah.
We came out the same capsule.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Good stuff, man. Are you enjoying Chicago?
I love Chicago.
Where are you guys hanging here?
Here nor there, man. I'm everywhere, teleporting.
All right. I can't ask those temporal questions anymore. Fuck it. You won't give me a straight answer on those.
Teleport, man.
Rightly so, man. Who the fuck cares where you're hanging out?
Yeah, we right here, true. Right now. I don't even know about what's going on.
But you're enjoying Chicago. Beautiful day, yes. Right on the lakefront here, man. Yes. I mean, it's really cool.
I call it Mecago.
Mecago.
I love you, Chicago.
Well, at least you don't call it Shitcago. Nah, never.
I fuck with it. I love it.
Yeah. I love LA. I'm from LA.
Oh,
grew up
shit.
There. Grew up in the Valley.
Oh, man.
In Sherman Oaks.
I love it. You know,
just talked to Party Alone. He was living in North Hollywood, which was right next door where I grew up.
Oh.
He was asking me all kinds of questions about what was it like to go to high school in the 80s in the Valley in Los Angeles. I'm a Valley dude.
Oh, you're a Valley dude. That's lit. I'll be all up, for sure. The Valley, I love LA too, bro.
I know. There's so much to do there. Talk about getting people's energy and things. Like, everyone's doing their own vibe there. It's so interesting to just meet so many different people and so many walks of life and so many different cultures, and it's just, it's so spread out, which is mind-blowing also.
That's what we landed at, man, and we just like took off, bro. So
I know, right? I see you guys in LA.
It's Resident Evil. I fuck with it.
Resident Evil.
It's a love hate, not hate, but that's what a lot of people get from it. You gotta go down there and really just You gotta already have your own shit figured out. Trying to figure shit out.
What's the vampire thing? You're interested in that?
I'm not a vampire, man. People have their own. I feel like when I say vampire,
because there's a song. What's the song?
When I say vampire, I want to tell people it's like, you have multiple forms of carnivores. Yeah,
Vampire Diaries.
That's the song for sure. But it's more of a when we say vampires, for sure, I love vampires. Mm-hmm. But it's more like when you said like a carnivore, herbivore, it's multiple forms of vampirism. You feel me? We're more on the reptile end. You feel me? If that makes any sense. More on the shapeshifter end. Feel me?
Yeah, still, there's different ones. Okay, listen, I watched this.
There's
a TV series on Hulu, which is a streaming series. It's called What We Do in the Shadows, and it's a mockumentary, like a fake documentary about a group of vampires that live in Staten Island in the present day. It's fucking hilarious.
Like, I feel like the TV, they take a lot of shit from angels and demons and vampires, and
people's
perception is not, it's very twisted. If it's right in front of you, feel me? So, yeah. That's all I can say. You feel me? But Vampire Diaries is for the bitches, man. I love it.
Does that mean you like it or not? I didn't get that.
I mean, Vampire Diaries, every bitch, like, you feel me? The bitches fuck with Vampire Diaries and Twilight and shit. You feel me? They think, like, they have this concept of what vampires are. It's just fucking amazing.
I mean, there's a romantic side to that, too, right?
Yeah, and then you really see what the fuck's really going on. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, right. we're definitely vamps, but it's on a whole nother perception. Right. I indulge in it. I love it.
Right. Well, I saw you over here at the catering table, so I don't know if you only eat blood. No, I'm fucking with
you.
You're chowing down like roast beef sandwiches. Yeah. I'm joking.
No, I'm a carnivore and an herbivore.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for being here, guys.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed meeting you and learning about your story, man.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you, really fun.
Yeah.
Neighbors.
Bad Neighbors, man. Check them out. Okay, well, that was a unique experience. That was me talking to Bad Neighbors, that is Rage and Chaos. Chaos was more of the talker. You know, Rage would just kind of chime in with a couple grunts here and there and a couple giggles and laughs. And he was definitely an effective sidekick, I'd have to say. But I found it to be extremely interesting.
First, I'll say that they've got a stream of singles, a bunch of singles that are out. Their most recent single in 2023 is entitled Dead End, and they have an album from 2021 entitled Flowers She Burned. I didn't hate their music. I really like it. I think it's super interesting. And now getting a little bit more of what their philosophy is all about, you know, I find it entirely intriguing. So I don't know what y'all gathered from this interview. I'd love to hear what you have to say. If you want to email me, you know, like I say at the top, I'm at info@roadcasepod.com. Would love to hear what your comments are about this particular one. But, you know, Rage or Chaos talks about how they're just from another world. You know, he wouldn't answer any of my temporal questions about, you know, where were you guys born? How old are you? Where you're about? You know, it was all about this sort of existential and experiential philosophy that basically centers around pain. And pain is whatever you have to go through. And whether you smile, you laugh, you grimace through pain, it's kind of mastering that pain and tapping into people's emotion in doing that and coming out the other side. And that at that point, you'll feel like you have succeeded at something. That's kind of what I come out. It makes a lot of sense. It's sad if they experience a lot of pain, but you know, he would probably say that life is pain, you know, and that as an artist, they like to take pain and play with it. And he says that he feels pain and he makes art with it. So that's his art form. And the way that he expressed it to me, you know, it was not easy to kind of get my arms around it and not get super confused in the moment. It's 100% very, very unique take on life and artistry. Another interesting takeaway that I had was sort of like that more instinct and less thinking, basically, you know, just experience what you experience. Don't really think about it, absorb it and live with it. And that requires a lot of self-reflection. And as Chaos said, it's sort of, that's where he comes from. So I found it to be extremely real. I really enjoyed talking to them. And as I explained at the top, and you probably noticed during the course of this interview, you know, about halfway to like 5/8 of the way through, a little more than halfway through, I felt like we really kind of connected as two just humans trying to figure each other out. And I felt really bad when they talked to me about how people would have them on their own shows and other interviewers would interview them just for clickbait. That kind of really hurt me. I didn't feel good about that because they're so genuine and trying to just get across what they're trying to do in a very authentic way that and I wanted to take the time to understand what they were all about. And I think, you know, as opposed to people that might use them as clickbait, and clearly they had a lot of experience doing that, they appreciated where I was coming from with my own questions and interviewing style. So it was really interesting to have them on the show. Please go check them out, investigate them, do your own investigation, and you'll find out that these are just really, really intriguing artists. So I want to thank Bad Neighbors again, Rage and Chaos, for sitting down with me at Lollapalooza. Thanks again so much to the both of you. So this will conclude my Lollapalooza series of in-person interviews that I did at Lollapalooza that took place in Chicago's Grant Park, August 3rd through 6th. Was so psyched to be able to bring these interviews to you. Thanks so much to the artists that I brought to you for this episode 3 of this 3-part series. That's Jordan Tomp of Windsor, Usted Señalamelo, Hoosh, and of course, Bad Neighbors. Like I said, I'm back from the Bumbershoot Arts and Music Festival in Seattle, where I conducted a number of different interviews there in person as well, and can't wait to bring those to you. Among the artists that I spoke to are Valerie June, Thunder Pussy, King Youngblood, Revivalists, Dandy Warhols, and Destroy Boys, among others. I'm really so excited to be able to present those interviews to you. I know everyone's going to love those. Those are coming up in the next several weeks, so stay tuned to those. Don't forget to follow Roadcase on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at roadcasepod.com. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please email me. I'm at info@roadcasepod.com. Thanks again to Jordan Topf, to Usted Senia Lemelo for being here, Hoosh and Bad Neighbors, and thanks to all of you for tuning in for this episode of Roadcase. So happy to have you along for this one. Thanks so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next episode of Roadcase. Thanks again so much for listening, and I'd like to encourage everyone to get involved with Roadcase. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can email me at info@roadcasepod.com with questions, comments, and even suggestions for guests. Or you can follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Roadcase Pod, and we have a YouTube channel called Roadcase Podcast. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. And if you could please rate and review the podcast while you're there, that would be great. So I want to thank Waltzer for this awesome theme music that we have. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to Roadcase. We have a lot of great episodes coming up, so I'll see you on down the road.